Good morning. Today's Avantan. This is Lamed. We're on Chav Testament Base. We're starting halfway down in the Amud and a continuation regarding the halachas of Tisha B'Av. The Gemara tells us that that going into Tisha B'Av, so one has to start having Nihuge Avelos even before the day actually starts. Now, again, Minhag Ashkenaz, I made this point already a couple of times, but it bears repeating, as today we're going to be covering the bulk of the halachas of Tisha B'Av and Erev Tisha B'Av. So as far as Minhag Ashkenaz is concerned, so Minhag Ashkenaz has significantly added, augmented to the Minhagim, as mentioned in the Gemara over here. So if you're used to hearing about 3 weeks, 9 days, so you're not going to see any of that in the Gemara, that is Minhagim of Ashkenazim. And so I'm a member, card-carrying member, so obviously, it's something that that we grew up with and that we know. But from the Gemara itself, so we're not going to, you have to disconnect from the Minhagim of Ashkenaz in order to just appreciate and learn the Gemara. And then after learning the Gemara, then you can learn about the Minhagim of the Ashkenaz. But from the Gemara standpoint, however, so Shul Shechaba, that is a significant time in which the Minhagim of Avelos begin. So the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out on, and it doesn't matter what day Tisha B'Av falls out during the week, meaning Tisha B'Av could come out anywhere between Sunday and I was going to say Shabbos, but probably Friday. Friday is a better way to say it. Shabbos, then it gets pushed off, and then it goes without saying that there's going to be a debate in terms of when Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos and it gets pushed off to Sunday, which week is Shavuot Shechabo. Okay, we'll leave that alone right now because we're just learning a daf for today. But meanwhile, when it comes out during the week, so that week now registers as Shavuot Shechabo. In just a minute from now, we're going to be learning together that even as we say Shavuot Shechabo, the week of Tisha B'Av, we really mean the week going up to Tisha B'Av, the days going up to Tisha B'Av. Meaning if Tisha B'Av, let's say, fell out on a Tuesday, so then Shavuot Shechabo is a reference to Sunday and Monday. And then Tuesday obviously being Tisha B'Av, and then the rest of the week do not have the Nihuge Avelos. Okay, so that's the Gemara is going to make that point really clear in just a couple of minutes from now. So that's something to look forward to. Other points of introduction. Yeah, one other point, and then we'll pick it up where we left off yesterday. So what are the Nihuge Avelos? So right now we've been focusing primarily only on two, and that is that one is not allowed to launder clothing. So and one is not allowed to get a haircut. So those are the Nihuge Avelos that are going to be prohibited on Shavuot Shechabo. So the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on, so you're not allowed to neither get a haircut nor launder clothing. The discussion that we had in the Gemara up until the point that we are right now, and that is that in terms of the laundering of the clothing, does that mean laundering clothing and wearing clothing? Or does that mean laundering clothing even though you don't plan on wearing it until after Tisha B'Av? And the Gemara's conclusion was the latter, not the former. Meaning, even if it's lehaniach, even if we're just laundering the clothing to put in it and putting it away until after Tisha B'Av, that activity is also going to be prohibited on Shavuot Shechabo. The reason being, so the Gemara doesn't say the reason, but Rashi says because laundering is going to be mesiach das. It's going to distract you from the avelos. Meaning on Shavuot Shechabo. So now we have an active responsibility to start thinking about Churban Beis Hamikdash, and so those things which are going to distract us. Getting a haircut and kivus are things that are going to be prohibited on the week of Shavuot Shechabo. Good, this is where we got up to. This is the point where we saw it until yesterday. Shalach Rav Yitzchak. In the Gemara, Chav Tes Amud Beis, and halfway down, it is the last short line of the Amud. Shalach Rav Yitzchak bar Giyuri Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Af HaPishar Mekli Pishon Ein Bei Mishum Giyutz. Now, one of the comments that we made yesterday is that you have linen clothing, so there is not going to be a problem of Giyutz, meaning the pressing of the linen clothing is not significant. Okay, you have to know linen clothing, which I don't. And for whatever reason, pressing is not significant by it. So, but to wear it on the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out on, so you're not allowed to do it. Meaning, there is giyutz is not significant, but to wear a freshly laundered linen garment is going to be prohibited on Shavuot Shechabo. Good. Amar Rav Loshanu Ella Lifanav. Here we go. The Gemara now is discussing, when we say Shavuot Shechabo, do we mean the totality of the week, even the days after Tisha B'Av of Shavuot Shechabo, or are we just talking about the anticipatory days, but not the days after? Gemara now has a debate on this very issue. So the Gemara says that the B'Shem Rav, Loshanu Ella Lifanav, we're only talking about the days before, but not the days afterwards. Aval Acharav Mutar, Shmuel Amar Filo Acharav Nami Asar, and according to Shmuel, Shavuot Shechabo is a reference to the entire week. Both the days before and after Tisha B'Av of that week, Meisvei, the Gemara challenges based on a brisa. Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocha, the week of Tisha B'Av, Asur Lesaper Lechabes, uvechamishim mutar mipnei kavod haShabbos. Already the point that we made back in the Mishnah, and that is that one is not allowed to do laundry. However, on Thursday, meaning let's say Tisha B'Av falls, is falling on a Friday. So one is allowed to do laundry on Thursday because of Kavod Shabbos. So Ketzad. So here the Brisa spells everything out. Chalios Becha B'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday, so Mutar L'Chabbos Kol Shabbos Kula. So then you're allowed to launder the rest of the week. Why? Because the Brisa over here is saying very clearly, like the Sheet of Rav, that the Shavuos Shechabo only impacts the days prior, but not the days after. If Tisha B'Av falls out any day between Monday and Thursday, so lifanav aser la'acharav mutar. So the day prior is going to be aser. The days afterwards are going to be aser. Thank you. I just heard myself also. So the days afterwards are going to be mutar. So chalios be'erev Shabbos, and now if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, so mutar l'chabbos bechamishim mimnei kavod haShabbos. So then you're allowed to do laundry on Thursday because of kavod Shabbos. V'im lo ki beis. Then the Brisa makes the following statement. Let's say you had Tisha B'Av fall on a Friday, and you should have done your laundry on Thursday, you didn't. And now what? So now you're kind of stuck, because Friday is Tisha B'Av, but also the Friday also is going into Shabbos, and you need laundry clothing for Shabbos. So here the Brisa extends the heter, in which you're allowed to do the laundry on that Friday, which is Tisha B'Av. Now, Abai is going to interrupt the Brisa for an important editorial comment, which is, don't do that. Abai says, please don't get to that point. So, and light Allah Abaye, vitim revacha bar Yaakov aha. Lai cursed somebody who allowed himself to get to that point in the Brisa where the, where he didn't do the laundry on Thursday, which is what he should have done, but rather he waited till Friday. Now he's doing the laundry on Friday, and that Friday is also Tisha B'Av. Abai says, not good. Okay. That was just an interruption of the Brisa, and now we resume a regular programming of the Brisa. Chalios b'shen uvechamishi. Now let's say Tisha B'Av falls out either on a Monday or on a Thursday. So kohen shloshim after echad. So you're going to have a regular kriya satorah. I say regular, meaning regular, and that's going to be three aliyahs. And b'shlisha b'rivi kore echad umaftir echad. Now, but if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, meaning what is not normally Torah reading days. So what you do under those circumstances is you'll read one aliyah and then you'll read the Haftarah. Okay, that obviously is really strange, meaning obviously that's not what we do. But just as a shita, it's a really interesting shita in that it's almost as if we're reading the Torah just to get to the Haftarah. Meaning that we know that on Tisha B'Av, so one of the things, one of the features of Tisha B'Av is that it has a Haftarah. I mean, every time we do Haftarah, it is specific to the day or the week or the parsha that we're reading, but the Haftarah on Tisha B'Av is really a kinnah. It really opens up kinnahs, meaning it's an actual kinnah of the Navi, which opens up to our kinnahs. But anyway, so according to the Tanakhama, if you're reading Torah on a non-Torah reading day, so what you'll do is you read one Aliyah and then followed by Haftarah. And Rabbi Yossi Amar La'olam Karin Shosho Maftir Echad. And Rabbi Yossi says no. In other words, it doesn't matter when Tisha B'Av falls out on, whether it's a Monday or Thursday, whether it's another day of the week, you're always going to be reading three aliyahs, which is, that's obviously what we do. Anyway, the point of the Brisa, specific to our discussion, is that the Brisa couldn't say it any clearer, and that the Shavuot Shechabo is only impacting the days prior to Tisha B'Av, not the days after Tisha B'Av. And to Yufta Dishmuel, and so the Gemara notes that this Brisa obviously is going to be extraordinarily problematic. It seems to refute the position of Shmuel. Amlecha Shmuel Tanahi. So Shmuel will tell you, you're right, that Brisa that we just cited is definitely not in line with my position. However, there are other Brisas. Detanya, the Gemara quotes other Brisas. Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos, V'chein Erev Shabbos. Sorry. V'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos. So if either Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, or Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, Ocha V'shosikot Tzarcho. So what you're going to be doing is that you're going to be eating on that Shabbos. And normally, Umala Shulchano Afil Kisuda Shlomo B'Shato, and your table is going to look like Suda Shlomo, meaning it's going to be a regular meal. Your Shal Shudas is going to be a regular Shal Shudas. V'asul Asaper U'lechabes Merosh Chodesh V'ad Hatanis Divrei Meir. Now, in terms of how long the Nehugim extend, so one is not allowed to get a haircut nor launder clothing from Rosh Chodesh until the fast day. That Shitas Rab Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol HaChodesh Kulo. Aser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole month, and Rashi ben Gamliel, Amar Eino Aser, Ella Oso Shabbos Bavad. And Rashi ben Gamliel says, no, only that week. Anyway, what comes out in this Brisa, the Brisa made a number of tangential points. I mean, I only say tangential, meaning tangential to our discussion, but the part of the Brisa that the Gemara really wants us to zoom in on is the idea that, at least according to one Shita, right, let's put a name behind that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so it's Kol HaChodesh Kulo, right, the whole month, which means that not only are the Nihugim for the days prior to Tisha B'Av, but also for the days after Tisha B'Av as well. A number of other points are made in the Brisa, and they're all extraordinarily important. However, for our discussion, we're just pointing out that there is a Shita like that, which is what Shmuel is basically saying. Look, I know there are Brisas that are against my Shita, but there are also Brisas that are in line with my Shita. And now, as we say Brisa, what we really mean is Shitas within the Brisa. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara quotes another Brisa, V'noeg Avel, Mei Rosh Chodesh V'adatanis Divrei, Rebbe Meir. So Avelus is going to be observed from Rosh Chodesh until the actual fast day, right? What we call 9 days, but not to be confused, meaning that he's not, in other words, according to Rebbe Meir, that's his Shita regarding the Nihugim of Avelus. Rebbe Yehuda, Amar Kol HaChodesh Kulo, also according to Rebbe Yehuda, it is the entire day, entire month, and Rosh Chodesh Gamliel, Amar Eino Asar, Ella Oso Shabbos Bavad. And according to the Rashbag, it's only going to be that week. I'm Rav Yochanan V'shoshem Mikra Achadarshu, and the three of them are getting it out from the same Pasuk. And that is, Dichsiv, the Pasuk in Hosea, V'hishbati, Kol Mesosah Chagah Chadashah V'shabasah. So, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, where in the Pasuk, it mentions both Chag, Chodesh, and Shabbos. Okay, now, Chag is a reference to Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says, Man, Damar Rosh Chodesh V'adatan is Michagah. So that is derived from the fact that it says Chagah. That Chag over here is a reference to Rosh Chodesh. Take a look at the top Rashi over there. He writes it clearly. That's a reference to Rosh Chodesh. So Dahainu Rosh Chodesh and Nikra Chag Kedamin Lael Karay Alay Moed, based on what we saw earlier. Uman Damer Kol Chodesh Kulo Aser Michadusha. And the one who says that's the entire Chodesh, obviously, go back to that pasuk in Hosea. It says Chodesh Uman Damer Kol Shabbos Kulo Aser Mishabasa. Okay. Amar Rava. We're in a moment going to start now with what is the accepted halacha. The Gemara goes over the halacha. The Amar Rava halacha Karebi Meir. Let me go back up. Back up one line. Amar Rava halacha Rishim and Gamliel. Okay, so of the three positions that we saw in the Brisa, the Gemara quotes down the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, if you recall, in both of the Brisas that we just quoted, says only the Shabbos. It's only the week of. Okay, that's number one. The Amar Rav Halacha Kareb Meir. And then Rava says something which at first is going to be confusing, and that is that he says the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. Now, what does that mean? Meaning the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So that, of course, is confusing, but the Gemara now clarifies. And the Gemara says, V'tavar l'kula, utzricha. So the Gemara notes that they're both being mekel, and that is the Iyash min halacha k'Rav Meir, because had we said the halacha is like Rav Meir, havamin afil Rosh Chodesh, so I might have thought that the Nihugi Avilah should start already on Rosh Chodesh. So kamash malan halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. So that tells me the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, meaning it's only Shavu Shechalbo, and the Iyash min halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, havamin afil l'acharav. Now, had we said the halacha is like Shimon Gamliel, well, we know he said the week of, we might have assumed that he meant the entire week, both the days before and the days after Tisha B'Av. So kamash b'lan halacha k'Rav Meir. So that's why he wanted to say halacha is like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir clearly states that it goes from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av, and that's it. Meaning there are no Nihugi Avelos after Tisha B'Av. That is the Shita of Rav Meir. So we're basically now making a hybrid position based on both the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel and that of Rav Meir. Notably, that it's going to be Shavuos Shechabo, and it's only the days prior, not the days afterwards. Good. And that's the Gemara's conclusion. And like I said already a number of times, but I get to just repeat it one more time before we go on in the Gemara. So from the Gemara's perspective, Nihugi Avelis is only Shavuos Shechabo, right? The Minhagim that have really entered into the Minhag Ashkenaz of 9 days, of 3 weeks, so those are Minhagim that have Ashkenazic roots. But from the Gemara standpoint, in terms of the halacha, in terms of the din is Shavuos Shechabo, and even that is only the days before, not the days after. Okay. Erev Tisha B'Av. And so that means to say that even though as we're concluding the Gemara in terms of the halachas of Avelos going up to Tisha B'Av, but really in order to get a fuller picture of it, so you need to, I mean, it's always true, but over here, really, it's even more so the case. You have to open up a Shulchan Aruch, you have to go through the Ramah in order to familiarize with all the menhagim of the Ashkenazim. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam beis tafshilim. Okay. On Erev Tisha B'Av, so you're not allowed to eat two cooked foods. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. You remember, there's really precious little in the Mishnah that talks about the practices and the customs of Erev Tisha B'Av. So one of the points that we made in the Mishnah, and there are not that many, is that you're not allowed to have two cooked foods on Erev Tisha B'Av. I'm Rav Yudah Loshanu Ela Mishay Shaos V'Lamala. Ava Mishay Shaos V'Lamata, Mutter. So the Gemara says that's only from after midday, right? 6 hours is basically the midday hour. So that's only from Sheshaos Ulemala that you're not allowed to cook foods. But if you want to have them in the morning, that's fine. V'am Rav Yudah Loshanu Ela Besuda Mafsikba. Additionally, Rav Yudah also makes an additional point, which is that we're talking about Suda Mafsekas. Ava Suda She'ino Mafsikba. But if it's any meal prior to Suda Mafsekas Amutter, so then it would be fine. Then you're allowed to have cooked foods. And by the way, when we say cooked foods, we mean, of course, meat included in those cooked foods. V'tarvaya l'kula. Now, once again, you have to take those two statements, and we're going to be makel. We're compounding, and we're making a kula of the compounded statements. U'tzricha. The Gemara goes on to explain. D'iyash mina besuda mafsik ba'ahav amina filo m'shei shaos l'mata. Kamash malam m'shei shaos u'lemala. So, let's say you decide to have early Suda Mafsekas. No one's going to want to do this, obviously, right? Everyone's going to want to pack in the calories immediately prior to the fast. But if, let's say, you decide you elect to have a Suda Mafsekas early, so early afternoon, you can have two cooked meals. But let's say your Suda Mafsekas comes in the morning time. I know that's strange. I know no one's going to want to do that. But Lu Yitzu, had the Suda Mafsekas been done in the morning? So that's kula number one. Kula number one is that you could still make it up of two cooked meals. V'iyash min ha'mishay shalos olam ala hava min ha'afil ha'besuda she'en ha'mafsik ba kamash malan besuda ha'mafsik ba. Additionally, what we're also learning together is that let's say you're having a meal in the afternoon, but it's not suda ha'mafsekis, i.e., it's the you plan on having another meal later that afternoon. So what we're learning together is that that meal could be made up of two cooked foods, meaning as long as it's not Suda Mafsekas, even though it's the afternoon, it can have two cooked meals in it. Okay. Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Basra. And we have brises going in both directions. Tanya Kalishna Basra. So here's a brisa going like what we just learned, Lishna Basra. And that is Asor Erev Tisha B'Av. If somebody has a meal on Tisha B'Av, on the afternoon Tisha B'Av, also Lisod Suda Acheres, and he plans on having another meal. So now in this pre-meal, meaning pre-Suda Mafsekas meal, so you can have meat and you can drink wine, the imlav also lecho basav lishtos yain. However, if this is your last meal, otherwise known as Suda Mafsekas, so you can't have meat and wine, tanya kalishna kama, here comes another brisa making the first point that we made. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tafshilin, and Erev Tisha B'Av you're not allowed to have two cooked foods. Lo yochal basav lo yishta yayin, not meat, not wine. Shimon Gamliel omer yishaneh. Shimon Gamliel says that you should make some sort of deviation. What does that mean? I'm Rav Yehuda Ketzad mishaneh. Rav Yehuda goes on to explain. Ima yaragala choshen tafshilin. So let's say you have two cooked meals. That's normally what constitutes your meal. So yochal min echad. So don't have two cooked meals. Have one cooked meal. Vima yaragala lisod basar b'nei adam sod b'chamisha. Normally, you dine with 10, dine with 5. Hayo regalu shtosa sarakoso shosa chamisha kosos. If normally you have 10 cups of wine, so half it, go to 5 cups of wine. Bamedvar mamorim, I know it's a lot. So bamedvar mamorim mishe shosa lamala. And that's only in the afternoon. Avamishe shosa lamata mutter. But if you're having it in the morning, even if, we're saying it like the Gemara presented earlier, even if it is your Suda Mafsekas, but for whatever reason, you're having your Suda Mafsekas in the morning, so then you don't have to be Mishana. You don't have to do any kind of deviation. You can have a regular meal. So in other words, the only time that the Suda Mafsekas laws are in force is you need two things. One, it's got to be in the afternoon. And two, it's got to be your final meal or your planned final meal before the fast. Tanya Idach. More braces on this topic. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yuchal adam shnei tafshilim. So on Erev Tisha B'Av, you should not have two cooked meals. Lo yochal basar, v'lo yishta yain divrei Reb Meir. No, not wine, not meat, not wine, according to Reb Meir. V'chachamim omrim yishaneh u'memayet bebasar v'yain. And the chachamim say, no, you don't have to eradicate it totally from your diet, but what you need to do is just simply diminish. So ketzad, so let's spell this out. Memayet, ketzad memayet, ima yaragalecho litra basar yochal chatzi litra. So if your normal meal is made up of a litra, half. And how you regular shows log yain yishte chatzi log. If you normally have a full log of wine, have half a log. The imen regular kol ikar usser. So, and if let's say that not, is not normally made up of your diet, so then take it out altogether. And Rishim Gamliel Omer imaya regular chol snow no maliach achar sudaso. You want to have some, let's call it cabbage, salted fish after your meal. That's what you normally do. So then you could do that after the Suda Mafsekes. Okay. So once again, more brises about what the Suda Mafsekes should be made up of. Should meat and wine be taken out altogether? Or do we just, is a simple deviation going to be sufficient? Machlokis amongst the Tanayim. Tanya Idach, we're not done. Here comes more brises on this topic. Koshu Mishum Tishabav, Asur Lachol, Basav Asur Lishtos Yayin, V'Asur Lirchotz. So if it's Mishum Tishabav, what does that mean? Rashi says, Suda Mafsekes. Meaning, if we're now at the last meal prior to Tishabav, so at this point in time, you're not allowed to have meat, you're not allowed to have wine, and you cannot bathe. Kol Sheina Mishum Tishabav, however, if it's not Mishum Tishabav, meaning to say it's a meal prior to Suda Mafsekes, so then Mutar Lechol Basar, V'Lusho Sayin, V'Asur Lirchot. So you can have meat, you can have wine, but you cannot bathe. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yosi, Amar Mishum Aviv, Kol Shasha Mutar Lechol. Let's take out the word Basar. The Gon takes it out, Rashi takes it out. So anytime that you're allowed to eat, Mutar Lirchot, you can go ahead and you can bathe. Meaning the restrictions of bathing are not going to be enforced until actually Tisha B'Av rolls around. Tanu Rabbanan. I know a lot of brisas, but we're just going in succession. Another brisa called Mitzvah Sanagas Be'evil Nagas Be'Tisha B'Av. And so now we are moving now to the Nihugim of actual Tisha B'Av itself. So up until now, we've been talking about the Nihugim of Erev Tisha B'Av and the standards and deviations necessary on the Suda Mafsekes. Now the Gemara is going to talk about actual Tisha B'Av itself. And actual Tisha B'Av itself, Asar Be'achila V'Shtiyah, you can't eat a drink of a Sicha. You can't anoint of an Ilas HaSandal, you can't wear leather shoes, Tashma Shemitah, intimacy is prohibited, V'Asar Likros B'Torah. Now, Adkan, up until this point in time, basically it's the Inuyim, meaning all the Inuyim that we spent time talking about in the 8th Perek of Yuma, so that is also going to be enforced over here on Tisha B'Av itself, the Chameshes Anuyim. It's a Tanit Sibur, and like we discussed earlier, on a Tanit Sibur, all the Inuyim are enforced. So Tisha B'Av is the Tanit Sibur. The Gemara noted that in Bavel, the only Tanit Sibur that's still in existence is going to be Tisha B'Av. Okay, so the first part of the Braisa really comes as no surprise. Next part of the Braisa, however, is new and unique to Tisha B'Av. Also, likros betar benivim of ksuvim ulashanus b'mishnah b'tamud of emedrash of alachus of agados. No learning. Torah shebichsav, Torah shebal peh. Ava kori hu b'makum sheinu ragel likros v'shanu b'makum sheinu ragel lishnos. So, according to this Braisa, but if it's learning that is not pleasurable, i.e. it's new learning. So new learning requires mental energy, and it's difficult. And so if you're learning like that, that is going to be acceptable on Tisha B'Av because that's not the enjoyable type of learning. And in terms of what you are allowed to do, kor bikinos, you read kinos. Probably the Bryce over here, when talking about kinos, is probably making a reference to Eicha, meaning we have since the Zman of the Gemara, so we have been writing meaning not you and I, but we've been writing kinos and we've been adding it now to the liturgy of Tisha B'Av. Okay, but probably the Bryce over here is making reference to Eicha. So the Korim bikinos be Eov uvedvarim haram shebiyirmiyah. So anything that has to have a sad theme, so that you are allowed to do on Tisha B'Av. V'tinok shel beis ravam bitelim. Now, in terms of the yeshiva, so what do we do? So here it's a question now of girsa. The girsa that we have in our Gemara is bitelim. You shut down the yeshivas because again, that would be learning and that would be enjoyable. The Gaon has a totally different girsa. Right, Tinoka shall base Rabbam Inan Bitalim. You keep the yeshivas open, meaning that for the kids, learning may not be as enjoyable as it is for the adults. So you'll say a pshat like that in the Gaon anyway. Mishum Shenemar, now, but why can't you learn in general? Meaning the Bryson now is just explaining itself. Why is learning going to be prohibited activity on Tisha B'Av? Because Bekudesha Misharim Misamche Lev. Because we know that learning brings enjoyment. And there's a certain joy in learning. And so, obviously, on Tisha B'Av, so that does not, it's not consistent with the theme of the day. The theme of the day obviously is not joy, and therefore learning is removed. Not in total, meaning that you can learn things that are thematically in line with the day, but general learning that invokes joy, so that's to be taken out of the Tisha B'Av experience. It's not in line with the Tisha B'Av experience. And Rav Yehuda Amar Afeinu Kari B'Makom Sheino Ragel LeKros V'Eino Shonu B'Makom Sheino Ragel L'Shanos. Shitas Rav Yehuda is that you can't read and learn even those things which are unfamiliar to you. Meaning no learning is acceptable according to Shitas Rav Yehuda. Ava Kari Hu Be'Iyuv V'Kinos V'Dvarim Harayim Shibir Yirmiyahu. V'Tinel K'Shal Beis Rabban B'Teilem Bo Shenemar P'Kudei Hashem Yisharim V'Stam Chelev. So according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, so the only things you can learn are only those things which are thematically appropriate for the day itself. But even unfamiliar learning, according to Rav Yehuda, is not to be done on Tisha B'Av itself. Lo yochel basar v'lo yishteh yayin tana. Okay, so on Tisha B'Av, on Suda Mavsekah, so you're not allowed to eat wheat, you're not allowed to eat meat, you're not allowed to drink wine. Now I know already a good part of this Amud has already spent a good amount of time talking about that mostly on Erev Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to eat meat, you're allowed to drink wine, as long as it's not your Suda Mavsekas. And even if it is your Suda Mavsekas, but you happen to have it in the morning, so then you're allowed to have meat and wine, but... No. Shavuot Shachabo, from the Gemara standpoint, is only for haircuts and for laundry. Right. Meat, correct. Again... Right, we have to disconnect. In other words, disconnect from the minhagim that we're used to, right, in order to appreciate the Gemara. Right, all of our minhagim are added to the Gemara. But from the Gemara standpoint, I know it takes a moment to process, and I'm going through the Gemaras really quickly. But from the Gemara standpoint, the Shavuot Shachabo is the only time that the nehugim are applicable, and the application is only for haircuts and laundry. And then in terms of meat and wine, it's only for Suda Mavsekas. That's the only time that's going to be prohibited. Okay, and ready for another heter? Here comes another heter. Tana, we learned in a braisa. Aval ochel hu basar maliach v'shos yayin migito. So if it's a meat of a lesser quality, I'll explain that better in just a moment. If it's wine of a lesser quality, so then you're allowed to drink and eat. So the only meats and wine that are going to be prohibited is the superior quality. So basar maliach ad kama. So the Gemara says, okay, a bit of an explanation of basar maliach. So amar avichanina bar kana mishmei dishmo kozman she hu kishlamim. So when it's like a shlamim, meaning fresh meat is the superior quality. When we say fresh meat, we basically are looking as a shlamim as a base model of what does that mean. So what do we know regarding a shlamim? So you're eating a shlamim 2 days and the night in between. Okay, so right, less than 48 hours. So as long as the meat is that fresh, so that's the kind of meat that's going to be prohibited on Erev Tisha B'Av during your Suda Mavsekas. But let's say it's an older piece of meat. Okay, and remember, back in the day there was no refrigeration, so it was preserved by salting. But it's an older piece of meat, so that you're allowed to have. Meaning that's not the kind of meat where the Chachamim were osir. Similarly with wine. Wine is only going to be usher when it's of a superior quality. So what's that? So basically, as it has been fermented. But if it's just freshly pressed wine, right, what you and I would call grape juice, so that is not, that's not going to be prohibited. V'yayin migito ad kama kozman shehu toseis. So as long as the wine is in fermentation process, that is an inferior quality wine, which would be okay. Tana yayin toseis embo mishum gilui. When it's inferior quality, meaning as it's fermenting, no one's going to want to drink it. I know this is a funny sentence, but not even the snakes. So and that means to say that we know that when water and wine are exposed, so there's a concern of gilui, meaning exposure means that it becomes tempting now for venomous creatures to go ahead, have a sip, insert their venom. You're going to drink it. You're taking your life into your hands. However, if it's something which is undrinkable, so then there's no concern. Yayin toseis, so as it's in the fermentation, even the snakes are going to want to stay from it. V'kama tesisa so gemel yamim. First 3 days post pressing. So at that point in time, no one's going to want to drink from it, not even the snakes. Rashi writes over here, it's really not good, right? It's mishal shalom mazik. right? Rashi writes over here. Okay. And that kind of wine that you're allowed to drink during your Sudah Masekas. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Marav Kach, Hayim and Hagusha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eli. So in terms of practices of a particular Tana, so Erev Tisha B'Av, Mevi'in Lo Pascha Reva B'Melech V'Yoshev. So what they do is they bring him bread, right, dry bread, crusty bread, together with salt. He sits V'Yoshev B'Tana L'Kirayim. He sits in a really dirty place in the house, right, a whole bunch of ashes and soot collect in that area. V'Ocha V'Shosa Allah Kiton Shomayim. And together with it, he's drinking water. It's as if the mace is directly in front of him, meaning he's at basically ground zero of Avelos, meaning the mace is right there. And that's the kind of feeling that we need to engender as we are going into Tisha B'Av. And in terms of Minhagim, so I'm not going to go through it right now. See the bottom Tosos over here. He discusses a little bit in terms of Minhagim on Erev Tisha B'Av. And take a look at the top Tosos. This I will read a little bit of. Top Tosos on the Amud Beis, Kol Ha'osa Melacha. First let's do the Gemara, and then I'll go to Tosos. Okay, Tanan Hasam. We learned a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Pesachim, in the fourth parak of Pesachim. Right, the fourth parak of Pesachim is all about Minhagim. And so the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah there. Tanan Hasam Makam Shenagu La'asos Melacha B'Tisha B'Av Osim Makam Shenagu. So if your minhag is to do malacha on Tisha B'Av is not a yantiv. There is no iser malacha. However, if there's a minhag not to do malacha, so obviously you have to be consistent with the minhag of your community. Over chol,
like Shabbos malacha, or just going to work?
Sounds more like going to work, right? It sounds more like that. Over chol makom tamachacham betelim. Now, if you're tamachacham, so then you should refrain from doing any kind of malacha. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says this is one of those occasions where you can, even if you're not a tamachacham, but you can behave like a tamachacham. Right? The Gemara, if you remember, had a lengthy discussion of acting like a tamachacham when you're not one. So that is, generally speaking, inappropriate because you are trying to receive kavod for yourself. But in this particular case, you're going in the other direction, meaning you're behaving like a tamachacham so that you're going to take upon yourself more avelos. So that the Gemara elsewhere, right? We had that discussion earlier in Shas. Okay. Anyway, Tanya Mihachi, the Gemara quotes the Brayso. Rishim Gamal Omer Lolam Yaseh Adam Atzmo Ki Tamachacham Kedei Sheyisaneh. Person should conduct himself like a tamachacham on Tisha B'Av, even if he's not actually one, so that he should be even in more affliction. Tanya Yidach Rishim Gamal Omer Kol Ochel. Eating on Tisha B'Av is tantamount to eating on Yom Kippur. Meaning that even though Tisha B'Av is a din d'rabanan, but it's as much of an affront of eating on Tisha B'Av as it would be eating on Yom Kippur. Now, it's difficult to imagine that he's saying that it has the status of a da'araisa, but probably what he means is that we have to take it as seriously as Yom Kippur. Tosus understands this to mean that in terms of Tosefis, Yom Kippur. And we know there's a halacha that you have to be mosif on Yom Kippur, meaning that the inuyim have to begin before Yom Kippur actually begins. Yom Kippur begins, let's just keep it simple. Let's say Yom Kippur begins at sunset. So that means to say that the fasting needs to start even before sunset as well. The Gemara never gives a shear. Tosos, if I recall correctly, struggles to give a shear in terms of how much Tosefis are we talking about. But regardless, Tosos, now I'm just reminding myself what Tosos says. Tosos says, for sure there's a shear. Tosos says, but I'm going to admit, I don't know what it is. But he says, but for sure there's a shear. Okay, anyway, there's a din of Tosefis Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Tosos over here writes, and so therefore, since Tisha B'Av is tantamount to Yom Kippur, so therefore there also needs to be Tosefis for Tisha B'Av as well. Rabbi Kiva Amar Kola Osim Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, Eino Ro Simen Bracha La'ola. Anyone who does malacha on Tisha B'Av is not going to receive a bracha from it. Working on Tisha B'Av and not properly mourning the destruction of Yerushalayim, ain't a roa b'simcha sa. So that means that you're not going to be seeing the simcha of the rebuilding. Shenemer simchas Yerushalayim v'gilaba kol oavah sisu atamasos kol hamisablam alaha. Really a simple pshat in the pasuk in Yeshayahu that by properly mourning it, guarantees ensures that you're going to be seeing it in its rebuilding. Mikan Amrikol, Amasabal Yerushalayim Zochavera B'Simchasa. properly mourning Yerushalayim guarantees that you're going to be seeing it in its rebuilding. V'sheina masal bal Yerushalayim ein ro b'simchasa. Tanya mehachi, the Gemara quotes a brayso, kol ochel basa v'shos yain b'tisha b'av. Anyone who eats meat and drinks wine on Tisha B'av. Now, on Tisha B'av, obviously, you're not allowed to eat or drink anything. But over here, in addition to eating and drinking, but you're so callous that you're even eating and drinking meat and wine. So I love a kasav omer, vati avnasam al atzmo sam. So the sin is really permeating inside of you. Meaning the Gemara over here, it's like since you are physically imbibing and bringing the meat inside of you, so it's as if the avera is going inside of you. Mesilas Yesharim, just slightly off topic, but not so much. Mesilas Yesharim says that's the reason why eating tarfus is a more serious aver, meaning right all averes are serious, but he talks about the serious nature of eating tarfus, of eating treif, and he writes because what happens is that you're taking the aver and you are literally you're making it part of your body, you're part of your being. Over here, Tosos writes, this Tosos I'll cite a little bit of, top Tosos in our Amud, Kala Osa Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, Eino Ro'a Simen Bracha La'olam, Klamar Ba'Osa Malacha Sherag La'asos B'Tisha B'Av, Eino Ro'a Simen Bracha La'olam. So first of all, Tosos just limits the Gemara saying that you're not going to get a bracha from whatever you attempt to do. Meaning in terms of your scorecard, it's going to end up becoming a net zero, right? For any extra effort that you try to put in Tisha B'Av, so for that, that will be detracted. But in other words, it's not a klala in general, just for that which you try to do on Tisha B'Av. V'chayev Adam, here Tosfos writes now in terms of various menhagim. Chayev Adam letzaru l'mayit b'chvodo uvanosav. So what you should try to do is try to minimize the amount of benefit that you get in general on Tisha B'Av. Shim hayaragel l'shkav al shnei karim lo yishkav ki im al echad. If normally you use two pillows, so use one pillow. Aval ubros amenikos enu chayavus kol lehai she'en yichol letztaher be'atzman. Right, if you are pregnant or nursing, don't try this at home. Right, don't try to minimize the amount of reduction of hana'ah. But generally speaking, Tosfos says as a general theme, meaning the Gemara doesn't say this, but already you start to see the menhagim take place over here in Tosfos. In that, really, what you should try to do is try to minimize the amount of hana'ah. Let's do a little bit more for this morning, and then we'll pause. Overturning your bed. When we get to Moed Katan, so we are going to be discussing how one of the Nihugi Avelos is to take your bed and to turn it over. Now, it's not clear from the Gemara in Moed Katan. Well, when we get there, we'll talk more about it. In other words, turn it over and what? And sleep on upside down? Turn it over and not sleep on it at all? Okay, we'll try to get more clarity in that when we get to Moed Katan. But if I remember correctly, I think that's an ambiguity. Anyway, so should you be doing that in Tisha B'Av? So the Tanaim debate this very issue. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Amru lo le Rabbi Yehuda dverecha ubros menikos matei aleim. So they say to Rabbi Yehuda, you really expect a woman who's nursing or pregnant, meaning they are in a position of weakness, you really want them to overturn their bed and not sleep comfortably? So Amru lo afani lo amati ala biyachol. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I wasn't talking about them. Meaning, no, they should sleep comfortably. They are in a weakened state. They for sure should sleep comfortably. Tanya Namehach, the Gemara quotes, Ebraisa, Mod Rav Yehuda Chachamim, Shein Yachol, Modim Chachamim, Rav Yehuda B'Yachol. So now, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim are not disagreeing, even though it sounds like they're disagreeing, but they're not. Rav Yehuda says that for somebody who is not in physical condition to take away their bed, they shouldn't take away a bed. And the Chachamim agree to that. So the Gemara says, so now that we have all this agreement, So why is the Braisa presenting it as if they're disagreeing? My Beinayu. So there is a subtle difference between them. Ike Beinayu Shar Mitos. So you're going to be overturning the bed. If you're in a position where you can handle sleeping either on an upside down bed or on the floor. So for sure, you should turn over your bed. Everyone agrees. Where the point of disagreement is, the other beds. This Braisa says, not only overturn your bed, so it's not just a symbolic act, meaning that really will diminish the comfort of sleep that you have, but also, as an act of symbolism, all the beds in your house. And Rava says, Allah is like our Tana, where the Chachamim were not Moda. Now, exactly what Rava's conclusion is, not moda at all. So the that you shouldn't turn your beds over, all the beds over, or just not moda, that the other bed shouldn't be turned over, but your bed should be turned over. Anyway, Tosfos over here makes this point. We're going to see it again in Moed Katan as well. Nowadays, the minhag is not to turn over the beds, not even for an aval, meaning even when someone's in avelus, so the minhag is not to turn over the beds. We'll discuss the Moed Katan. Tosfos over here alludes to it. We'll discuss the Moed Katan, why it is that the minhag is not to turn over the beds. We're going to pause over here, and just a quick recap of today's daf. We discussed today's daf. When are the Nihugi Avelos going to take place in terms of Tisha B'Av? So the conclusion of the Gemara is Shavuot Shechabo. Further limitation of the Gemara, even when we say Shavuot Shechabo, we're talking only about the days prior to Tisha B'Av, not the days after Tisha B'Av. So as an example, if Tisha B'Av, let's say, falls down on a Tuesday, so that means to say that the Nihugim apply on Sunday and Monday, but not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. V'chule, v'chule. That's the Gemara's conclusion in terms of when the Nihugim apply. On Erev to Tisha B'Av, the Suda Mafsekah. So that was a big part of the Amud Aleph. The Gemara quoted, I can count it up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 brisas in terms of the various menhagim of Erev Tisha B'Av, specifically the Suda Mafsekah, in which you're not allowed to have meat and wine, and only on Suda Mafsekah, according to the Gemara. Disclaimer, according to the Gemara. So you're not allowed to have meat and wine. Meat and wine have to be taken out of your out of your diet, but only on Suda Mafsekas, and only if that Suda Mafsekas is occurring in the afternoon. Otherwise, you're allowed to have meat and wine. Again, just right, like Danny was doing just moments earlier, right, to digest the Minhag Ashkenaz, where we don't have meat and wine for 9 days prior. So you see that we really extended onto the Gemara in terms of what the Ashkenazim have done. Meat and wine, we talked a little bit about. The ban is only on that which is good quality. If it's inferior quality, so that would be fine. That would not be problematic. We defined what that is in terms of lesser quality. And then we talked about working on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara is strongly opposed to working on Tisha B'Av, even though there is no Isser Malacha on Tisha B'Av, but nevertheless, working on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara is not in favor of it. And finally, Kfiyas Amita. The Gemara talked about this minhag of overturning the bed, which is definitely a minhag for Avelim. Is it also going to be a minhag for Tisha B'Av as well? Tanayim debate this very issue. Good.